The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I would like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Jude. A pretty small book for those of you who might have trouble finding it. It's right directly in front of the book of Revelations. The last book in the Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, that's okay. We will read it as it's written. Book of Jude. Not sure. Scholars are not sure who Jude was. Probably the half-brother of Jesus, because he mentions being a brother of James, who was also a half-brother of Jesus and prominent in the church in that day. Or he may have been Judas, one of the disciples. Not the one that killed himself. Jude is writing concerning an apostasy that concerns him, and don't let that big word fool you. That just means straying from the principles and theologies that are established. And so he addresses the apostasy and some of the excesses and some of what's going on. And then in verse 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Build yourself up in the most holy faith. I want to talk this morning about the necessity that you and I have for learning how, knowing how, and practicing building ourselves up in the most holy faith. If a Sunday morning gathering is the only time that you really get a dose of God, you will be languishing in your spiritual life. And we need to know, how do we build ourselves up in the most holy faith? And we need to know that it's okay in our interaction with God to think about us. This morning, it's about you. Say that. This is about me. Do you know it's okay for it to be about us? We do all kinds of things to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, and it's really about us. It's not about God. We dim the lights when we worship. Why? Because it's about us. What fellowship does light have with darkness? But for our soul, we like it. It's not like God is all of a sudden going to show up because we dimmed the lights. Or in other cases, we turn on lights and it's like, why do we do this? Oh, God's going to show up. We got red and blue and green lights and they're all significant and mean something. No, not really. It's for us. And we need to know that's okay. All of those things are okay. We have really comfortable seats for us. God couldn't care less. And we need to understand that a lot of what we do is not, it's for us, but it is the whole thing of building ourselves up in the most holy faith. We like a certain type of music, so we do that music and none other. But understand, it's that style is for you, it's not for God. You go to another nation and their worship is way different, and the same God shows up. Sometimes more so. And I don't know how that's possible, because they didn't sing that song. You know, that song. No, that song that every time I hear that song, it just cuts to my heart. Yeah, that's because it's about you. It's not about God. And we need to understand that. But we need to understand that that's okay, that we need to engage in building ourselves up in the most holy faith, because God understands we do need to be built up. We do need to be encouraged. We do need to be strengthened. So none of that, all of that is good. All of it. And it does something within us. How many of you enjoy watching really little kids do really silly stuff? I like to go to parks and just watch kids. It's just like, wow. They're so free. And they have such a simple view of life. And I want to suggest that God is simple too. He says, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying. Pastor Dave got a word early in the year that this would be a year of simplicity. And I want to simplify our relationship with God this morning. And I want to help us understand. When it says praying in the Holy Spirit, all kinds of things come into our mind. All kinds of things. And I want to suggest, let's just bring prayer down to what it really is, talking to God. Talking to God. Communicating, listening and receiving, dispatching and receiving, uploading and downloading, whatever analogy we want to use. That, and the writer's just saying, just connect with God. And we do that. We do that through music. We do that through worship. We do that through, but we need to understand that God, we're made in His image. So He's not a lot different than us. And so communication is important to God, just like it is to us. Marcy and I had a date day yesterday. We had a very hectic, pressure-filled week, so we just got out of Dodge. We call it that. You know, the city where there's gunfights and blood and mud and beer. And we went all the way to Maple Grove. Sat in a restaurant, had coffee, and looked at one another, talked, expressed how we were feeling. Just some, you know, just had an awesome time. But you know, in that, all that communication, I did not once sing to her. Loving you is easier than anything I've ever done before. Bum, bum, bum. We don't communicate that way. And I do sing to her sometimes. You might, well, you could tell by the way I sang that song. That's not the first time I sang that. Come on. I don't want you to think that I just pulled that out of nowhere. No, that's part of my repertoire. But that's not the only way I communicate. I mean, and we need to understand God just wants communication with us. And that's all praying is. It is communicating with God. It is connecting with God. And when I connect with God, I connect with the source and I am built up in the most holy faith. My faith is built up because I connect with the source of my faith. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you don't pray enough, that's only because you don't talk. Just talk. Do you know that some of the serious conversation we had while driving from Big Lake to Maple Grove, do you know that I could drive and talk at the same time? And it was meaningful conversation because it was relational. Do you know that you can communicate with God in the most unusual places? I'm going to tell you a family secret on Marcy. I'm just going to tell them. Do you know that one of her favorite places of prayer is in the shower? Ah, ha ha. How religious is that? No, God just wants communication with us, and he doesn't want it to come out of form and religion, and he just wants. That's why sometimes some of the most awesome worship services come about when we didn't get to do everything we thought we were going to do. Or some of the most awesome messages get preached when we didn't even get to preach. Because it is about communication. It isn't about all kinds of activity other than connecting with God. Building yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. Now, one of the ways that we can pray in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. It is not the only way, but it is one of the ways. And for those of you here in this room who are graced with the gift of speaking in tongues, I just want to encourage you to use it. But don't use it because it's some type of a shandalia rondaria kalia sotoramakia, he said magic wand, that moves God. It is a gift, and it is a precious gift, and I use it often, but I understand the primary purpose in using it is to build myself up in the most holy faith and connect with my Father. And I do want to encourage us that God gave us that gift for a very important reason. And I don't want to make this message all about that, but I do want to take about 10 minutes, less than that. And we want to stay here because this is our text. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we need to understand that the administration of the gift of tongues actually has, in the same way prophecy does, prophecy has more than one administration. There's the spirit of prophecy, there's the gift of prophecy, and then there's the office of prophet. All totally different, but all prophecy. And there's more than that. There's prophetic prayer. There's all kinds of, and in the same way it is with tongues. There's at least three administrations of tongues. There's for personal edification. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's found in verse 4 of chapter 14. There's public interpretation. That's found in verse 5 of chapter 14. And there is a sign for unbelievers. That's found in verse 22 of chapter 14. That's just three applications or administrations of gift of speaking in tongues. But Paul is writing to the Corinthians because they're all out of order and because people are just blabbering in tongues. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. I would rather that you prophesied than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets. But in the midst of all that he says some gems about the power of the administration of speaking in tongues, which is for edification. And I want to look very quickly at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 2, he says this, "When we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries to God." How many are up for that? Speaking mysteries to God. And it's not that you all of a sudden come along and inform God of something he's been trying to figure out forever. No. It's a mystery to you. It's not a mystery to him. But we speak mysteries to him. And there is a shandalia rondari kilia sodala makalia. So there's a dialogue that happens between I and God. Communication. Everyone say that. Communication. If somebody says to you, next week, what was the message about last week? It was about communication. You don't have to say it that weird if you don't want to. Communication. Communication with God. So when we pray in tongues, we speak a mystery to God. By the way, if you're here this morning and you've ever swore at the devil in tongues, you were swearing at God. I do not suggest speaking to the devil in tongues, or because you're not. Got good news, though. He understands English. Now, a warring spirit can come up inside of us speaking in tongues, and there's like a feistiness that comes, but you are still speaking mysteries to God concerning how upset you are at your adversary. And that's good, and that's okay. Now, verse 4. When we speak in tongues, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So when I'm speaking these mysteries to God, guess what? I come out of that encounter, I come out of that edified, built up, encouraged. The word our English word edifice comes from that same Greek word. It is the building of beams and timbers and structures. It is a very foundational term of edifying, building up, building an edifice. And so in this process of shandalia kolia sodalama ki anti my bow tie, who stole my Honda? Shoo, I get built up. And so it's one way, but it's not the only way, but it is one way in which we can build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Because I am built up in my own spirit. Verse 18 and 19. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words of my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Seasoned man of God said, listen, in case you think that I'm against speaking in tongues, this is what Paul was saying. How are you? That's my little sister. I tried to embarrass her, but it didn't work. She's too secure in Jesus. Somebody said, is that really his sister? Yes. So Paul is saying, listen, I want to make it very clear to you all. I'm not saying don't speak in tongues, but I'm just saying if it isn't for the purpose of interpreting and informing people, just prophesy. And by the way, just on a side note, we would much prefer people prophesy than speak in tongues in an assembly and interpret. It's just a lot simpler. Not that we're against it, but it's just a lot simpler. But we're not talking about speaking in tongues for the purpose of interpretation. We're talking about building ourselves up in the most holy faith. And so praying in tongues is one way in which we communicate with God that when I pray, my mind is unfruitful. Oh, I didn't read that verse, did I? Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is really good news for you if your mind gets in your way. And if your mind does not get in your way of your faith with God, I think you're lying. Because the Bible says it does. It says your natural mind is at an enmity with the things of the Spirit. Not only won't it fall in line with the things of the Spirit. Even if you get really spiritual and really religious, it can't. And so there's great value in shandalia rondari kilia sota la makoholia sandaria ki of speaking mysteries to God, and my mind is totally disconnected and totally unfruitful. And I don't know what I just said. It's one time when it's okay for us not to know what we're talking about. And there is this building up that's going on in the inside of me all that time. When Jesus talked of the Holy Spirit, he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. And here is what I have learned. If I become accustomed with shandalia rondari kilia soto la makolia soto la maka, and I'm speaking from here, the Bible just said I was, plus I know I am. If I'm speaking from here instead of here, and I become comfortable with speaking from here instead of here. When it comes time to prophesy, I can prophesy from here instead of from here. When it comes time to pray, I can pray from here instead of from here. When it comes time to preach, I can preach from here instead of from here. So I don't have to have everything all laid out. I don't have to know what I'm going to. And so my mind sends a text to my body and says, what's going on? I don't know what to think of this. And he sends a text to the soul and says, how do you feel about this? Because my soul and my body is left out of the equation, and it's about spirit to spirit. Because you see, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the way that you and I connect with God, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the spirit, capital S, the only way that you and I connect with God is spirit to spirit. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, small s, and truth. And so our interaction with God is spiritual. And we must connect spirit to spirit with God. If our connection with God is only emotional, we'll be up and down in our walk with him. If our connection with God is only in the mind and only mental, and only we will be up and down in our walk with God, because the ability to pull from heaven what we need to walk this walk on the earth comes from a transfusion from spirit, capital S, to spirit, small s. And I must learn how to build up my spirit in the most holy faith. That's why when we come together sometimes and we don't feel like worshiping, we worship anyway. And we step into it. And we put on the garment of praise, even though our body says no, no, no. And our soul says no, no, no. Our spirit says yes, yes, yes. And we put on the garment of praise. And if we wear it for a very short time, especially hanging around you bunch, the spirit of heaviness leaves. Because I intentionally made a decision that was spirit-driven rather than body-driven or soul-driven. Now, sometimes my soul comes here and I really want to worship. But not always. Do you know that sometimes preachers get here and they don't want to preach? It's like, oh, God. It's true. Like the guy, wife woke him up and said, time for church. He says, do I have to go? Yes, you do. You're the pastor and you're preaching this morning. And we all feel those things. But part of the exhortation here is to build yourself up in the most holy faith. Communicating, connecting with God, praying in the spirit. And so tongues is one way we do that, but it's not the only way. How many of you know that God understands English? Let's go back to our text. Jude chapter 20. Or verse 20. The only chapter. And so we also pray to God and we communicate with God. You know, do you realize that all the Psalms are just David and others communicating with God? In fact, some of the Psalms I cannot imagine singing. But sometimes David was having a bummer of a day and it came out in his Psalm. Do you know that you can be honest with God in our communication with God? Do you remember with what veracity Jesus treated the scribes and the Pharisees? It's like so stark to me. It's like, whoa, who is this guy? And I think when we come to God, you and I as his sons come to God in a pharisaical attitude, it's like, who are you? Whose kid are you? He wants us to come in simplicity of relationship. And he just wants us to communicate with him. And he doesn't want us to tell him what we think he wants to hear. He wants us to tell him what we want to tell him. And many times we have tried to build ourselves up in the most holy faith through prayer, but we weren't honest. They that worship God, who is a spirit, capital S, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we come before him and we're not honest. And we go through religious gymnastics that never really got to the point to where we could discover some things. See, this process of communicating with God accomplishes some things. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Do you know that when you connect with God, you are immediately met with love? Immediately. We are immediately met with the love of God. Can you put that picture up on the board, up on the screen? That picture, obviously, is this picture. But I just wanted us to be able to see it. Keeping yourself in the love of God. How many of you think that little lamby looks like he's in the love of God? See, and you and I need to make an effort to keep ourselves in that place of security and the protection of the love of God. I may be having a rotten day. I may be having a rotten week. But the reality is, God loves me. Remember, we're building ourselves up in the most holy faith. And this morning's message, so far, it's going to shift. So far, it's about us. And it's about being in that place of keeping myself in the love of God. You and I have an adversary. You can call them jackals if you want to. In keeping with the picture, who is constantly whispering lies that says, God does not really love you. Especially because you did that. What did you do? And he's constantly accusing us. And his goal, the lies of the jackals, the whole purpose is to get us out of the place of the love with God. By the way, the apostasy that Jude writes about in the very beginning, it's that same lamb out in the perimeter messing with the jackals. Na 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 boo boo. Na 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 na. Na 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 boo boo. Flirting with the fringes of darkness. Remember when that vision was given, the lion was like a fire. It was kind of like a campfire. And it is. It's lit up. And there's light. But you get on the fringes and the jackals won't come out of the dark into the light. But neither should we come out of the light and go into the dark. They that walk in the light as he is in the light have what? Fellowship with one another. One another who? The lion and the lamb. And the lamb and the lamb. We have fellowship with one another if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with God the Father. We keep ourselves in the love of God. But that apostasy and what had crept into the church is a message of oversimplifying grace where you could just flirt with the jackals. And there is a way to not get eaten by the jackals, and that is as a sheep to put on a jackal's coat and to begin to look like one and talk like one and act like one. And it might even seem safe, but the reality is you're getting eaten by the jackals from the inside out. That was for somebody. And so this building myself up in the most holy faith keeps me in this place of the love of God. Marcy and I love it. Our granddaughter Olivia comes here on Sunday mornings and comes and runs up and gives us a big hug. And we love it and she loves it. Reminds us of her mother when she was that age. But you know what? Her mother has grown up and she does the very same thing, but she does it with her heavenly Father. Same affection, same, I'm so glad you're so glad to see you. Now, Olivia will someday. In fact, that's our role as parents, grandparents, and all of that is to teach kids the preciousness of love and affection. Parents, if you do not, fathers and mothers, if you do not teach your kids anything else, teach them affection. Teach them how to handle love. If you've got kids that don't like to be hugged, hug them until they like it. And one way to start is when they're really, really little and they don't have a choice. But I tell you, when they grow up, they will value this. In the love of God, keeping yourself. See, we heard it prophetically this morning. We have a part in our relationship with God. We have a part in walking through a door. We have a part in setting ourselves free. And we have a part in keeping ourselves in the love of God. And if you've always seen prayer and connecting with God as something that's all about Him and not about you, I want to suggest that you have had a skewed view. It is about relationship. And as far as He is concerned, it's all about you. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. His expression of love was the Son. How many of you know that lamb couldn't be there without the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Keep yourself in the love of God. Verse 21, reading on. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy. How many of you are thankful that the mercies of God are new every morning? Do you know why the mercies of God are new every morning? The Lord just spoke it to me this morning while Marcy was sharing about it being a new day when she opened the service and all that. The mercies of God are new every morning because you screwed up yesterday. There's a pretty good chance that when you wake up in the morning, you need the mercy of God. And remember, mercy is way different than grace. Grace is being heaped upon with favor you don't deserve. But mercy is the withholding of punishment that you do deserve. And the mercy, and so, shandalia rondariki, however it is, dialoguing with God. And I got to be honest with Him. They that worship Him. By the way, worship, the word worship, does not mean anything musical. Here's the best picture of worship. Even a better picture is the dog licking the hand of his master in the original language. See, that is worship. And so we can worship. All my interaction with God is worship. Whether it's prayer, whether it's singing. Thank God for music. Thank God for song. Thank God for all that. But I don't have a worship team in my back pocket on Monday morning when it really, really, I'm going to say it, sucks. when life is really hard and I forgot my iPod and I don't have any music and oh, how am I going to connect with God? Just connect with Him. Just connect with Him. The same way you'd connect with a person. We're made in His image. We're made in His likeness. He's just like us. Do you know the part of women? You know how, not all, but a lot of women like to talk. No, I mean a lot. No, I mean they really like to talk about how they feel and stuff. I'm going to redeem myself, Dave. Here's what I believe. I believe that is an attribute of the God whose image they're made in. And God likes to talk. And He likes communication. And He likes to know how you feel. He likes to know how your day went. He likes to know what they said. And who was there. And He likes to know how that made you feel. He does. He does. He does. That to Him is worship. Just like it is in a relationship. It's relationship. And it isn't that much different. It isn't that much difference between a husband and a wife or a grandfather and a granddaughter. It really isn't any different than that. Because we're made in His image. And He's not some pious being who cannot be touched by our love. And can't be touched by our tears. And can't be touched by our attitude that says this is a rotten day. He's touched by all that. And He can relate to it because His Son was sent. And we do not experience anything His Son did not experience. I have a personal opinion, and I would never make a theology out of this, but I think that the coming of Jesus into human flesh brought a perspective to God. I want to say this carefully, but I'm going to say it. Brought a perspective to God that He didn't have. I believe that when the Son said in the garden, "Oh, Father, If we could do this another way," do you realize you had a clash of two wills there? Not in a rebellious way, but the Son is basically saying, "Father, I don't want to do this." And see, the thing that he saw coming wasn't the beating, wasn't the nails. It was your sin and mine. We heard the prophetic word this morning about the serpent on the pole. By the way, that was during the children of Israel, and there was sickness in the camp and plague in the camp, and they fashioned a golden pole or rod and were told to fashion a serpent on it of gold and hold it up, and whoever looked at it immediately got healed. And we might say, And the New Testament bears this out, and one of the Gospels actually refers to it. Jesus does, actually. It's in red. And we might say, wait a minute. Whoa. What does a serpent have to do with Jesus on the cross? Everything. Because on the cross, Jesus, He who knew no sin, became sin, that we might walk in righteousness. And the prophetic exhortation this morning was, listen, do not forget about the mercy of Jesus Christ. Do not forget in your daily walk, do not forget about the mercy of Jesus Christ. In your building yourself up in the most holy faith, make sure that while you're there and in that process, it says look for. That word there in the language is, it's like search it out. Find in that process, find the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you'll feel a whole lot better. Remember, we're building ourselves up in the most holy faith. And so I'm looking for the love of God, but I'm also looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that will keep me here. You realize there's no reason the lamb ever has to leave that place, ever? I know what some of you are thinking. Well, to go to the bathroom. Yeah, okay, to go to the bathroom, okay. You were, weren't you? And it all flows out of communication. Just talking to God. In truth. Worshiping. Bowing before Him. By the way, and it is fine. There are times when in my private time with God, I don't know what else to do but bow before Him. And sometimes in presence of others. But we do got to understand this about God. It must be in spirit and in truth. And it does no good to bow down on the outside if you're not bowed down on the inside. It does no good to mouth words that we think He wants to hear outwardly if we're not feeling it inwardly. Now, I will put a disclaimer on that statement to this point. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. And sometimes I've got to, out of an obedience, let my spirit proclaim things that I'm really not feeling. I'm going to tell you a secret. I hope you won't hate me. Hope you won't hate me. I don't know how to say this. Sometimes, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes I tell my wife I love her and I'm not really feeling it. It's true, I'm sorry. And so do you. And sometimes she tells me she loves me. And I know that's not the number one thing on her list. In fact, I know that I'm not the number one thing on her list. But that is the way of relationship, isn't it? And so we need to take those times with God where we're just honest with Him. And yes, sometimes we sing a song until it becomes real. Sometimes we say words until they become real. But sometimes we're real with God. There may be some here this morning who have trouble forgiving others. You know what the secret to forgiving others is? Discovering the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ toward you. And forgiving with the forgiveness with which you've been forgiven. By the way, you can say you forgive somebody and still be wrestling with feelings. There's a big difference between forgiving somebody and trusting somebody. But we must allow the mercy of God to have its way in our life and to recognize. See, we've been walking with Jesus somewhere around 34 years. And here's what I find. I need that Savior that we accepted 34 years ago as much today as we did back then. And we accepted Him because our marriage was a mess. And even though we wanted to have a day like we had yesterday together, we couldn't do it without. So we gave Jesus a try. But we still need a Savior. But we grow in our ability to be a different person because of the mercy of God. But we need to be aware of how much we need Jesus every day. We have communion once a month for that very purpose. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember. And I don't think it's supposed to be a negative or a downer or a sad service. It's not a funeral, it's a wedding. It's kind of helping us to remember how the Lamb got there. Okay, that's enough about you. Verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. You know, one of the secrets to having compassion on others is connecting with the mercy of God that was extended to you. You cannot get away from the fact, and it's part of the vision of this church, you cannot get away from the fact that your relationship with God is not just about you. It is for the sake of others. And some of the death that works in you is for others. And I know some people don't like that, and you just feel like that it's all about you and only about you. But I'm sorry. Once you found that place of comfort and protection here, you have a responsibility to help others find it too. By the way, I think you have much more of a responsibility to help people find it than just to tell them about it and then leave them to themselves to go find it for themselves. It's called discipleship. And I would rather have lead one to hear and help them to tell 100 that it exists, but never lead them there. Or see that they're led there by somebody. Because it is a process, isn't it? How many of you have found it took some time to get here and to be comfortable here? That's because you saw these eyes from this vantage point over here at one time. Is there a reason? Can we put that picture back up? I don't know if you can see the eyes. But the look of the lion toward the hyenas does not say, I love you. And so if one time you trafficked with hyenas and you were not a lamb, you saw that look. Or thought you did. In reality, I don't think we did. We don't have the time to go into the rest of the text other than to say this. Recognize that the building ourselves up in the most holy faith is about us. It is. But out of that building up comes an overflow to others. And in fact, you'll feel no need or little need, a diminished need, to build yourself up in the most holy faith if you're not giving it away. It is in the awareness of how big the need is out there and how limited our part is that drives us to the arms of Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning in your Lord Jesus Christ. A year of simplicity. The simplicity of God is found in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. I know that in this room there are people who are so desire to go to the next level. And I tell you, the doorway into the next level is Jesus Christ. Always. Yeah, but we need more power of the Holy Spirit. The Jesus Christ gets you there. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus. He's taking the things that belong to Christ and making them known to you and to me. Yeah, but it's about the love of the Father. No man comes to the Father except the Son lead him. It is the Son who introduces us to the Father. Let's stand together. There's going to be prayer teams here this morning if we don't have time to do some activation. And I want to encourage you, when I spoke about praying in tongues, if there's a stirring in you, there will be prayer teams up here that will pray with you. It's simply called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't come just because you think you should. I found this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's on God's time, not ours. It was at the day of Pentecost. It wasn't a number of other places in Scripture. It's about God's time, not ours. But we need to be in a place of being ready to receive, in a place of faith. So if you're in that place today and you'd like someone to pray, there will be prayer teams up here. Father, we just thank you for the privilege that you give us to keep ourselves in the love of God, and the privilege you give us to look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ability you give us to, through the simple practice of communication with you, to stay built up in the most holy faith. We ask you as we go from this place, Father, that every person would be strengthened and encouraged and provoked to talk to you and walk with you. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There'll be prayer teams up here. Bless one another. Encourage one another. Have an awesome day.